the last few verses of chapter 1. And I'd want to just, there were a few that we didn't get to talk about. Beginning at verse 28 of chapter 1, and I'm reading this morning from the New American Standard to just give you a little bit more of a clear, maybe, picture of what Paul is writing here to the Romans. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So, very serious condemnation of these traits that none of us want to have. We'd got down to, when the bell rang, we'd got down to gossipers. And I think the King James says backbiters. And I think we need to certainly look at ourselves. As are we gossipers? Are we guilty of carrying tales? Of being gossips about someone at work, someone at church, someone in our community, that we're saying bad things about them behind their back, and that's what gossip means. You know, that's something that we certainly need to look at and certainly avoid that kind of thing. And sometimes it's difficult because you get into a group setting with different people, and all of a sudden, maybe a worker who's not doing their job, this comes up, and so we join in. Yeah, that's right. Susie doesn't do what she's supposed to do, or John doesn't do what he's supposed to do. But we're not telling these people to their face what we think, but instead we're saying it behind their back. And God says that's things that he hates. These are things that he hates. And then haters of God. That one's a little difficult. How can people hate God? Well, through their actions. They're sinful people who are so polluted with sin that they have no regard for God in any way. Basically, is what that means. Hater, I'd hate to be described as a hater of God. What a terrible thing to be said about someone. Very serious. And then insolent. That's people who are just offensive, disrespectful, and do whatever they like without considering others' feelings. And then this one, I think God, and over and over in Scripture we see God, Jesus said himself about being humble and he would raise you up. If you're serving, you'd be in the top, you would be leading instead. But he wanted us to serve. What's haughty? Haughty. We know haughty people. Inordinate self-esteem. An unreasonable conceit of their own talents, beauty, wealth, and accomplishments. We've all met those kind of people who all they can tell you about is their self and what they've done and what they're doing and how everyone loves them because of who they are. So they're haughty, but they'll be brought down. And then boastful, vain about themselves and whatever they possess. Nobody wants to be around, we call it a braggart in the South. Does anybody want to be around a braggart? Just someone that's a braggart. Always bragging on themselves and what they have. You don't want to be around a person like that. That's something God hates. He hates that. And then inventors of evil. People that are so evil, they have an extraordinary attempt to cause more dark, unfit, unspeakable vices to gratify their sinful desires. Just almost unspeakable for us to even talk about. And then disobedient to parents. We've seen over and over again how that plays out in lives of people around us. It's the beginning of a life of sin, basically. That this sin should be mentioned in this blacklist shows the light in which God regards it. How many times in Scripture do we hear about and talk about honoring thy father and thy mother? It must be important. It's the only commandment with promise. So here we have it mentioned again in the things that God hates. Disobedient to our parents. So then if we're disobedient to parents, what happens? We're disobedient to the people at in the schools, in our education. We're disobedient to civil authorities. We're disobedient to everyone because we haven't did the right things. But I want to switch this around a little bit and maybe get on a little tangent here. So bear with me. Where does it start? Where does it start? If we give in to every little whim that a child wants when they're young, we start the ball rolling right there. We're commanded to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we're told what? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, in no way am I saying we need to beat our children. I'm not saying that. But there needs to be what? Boundaries? There needs to be boundaries. Everyone needs boundaries. And you'll have someone you have to answer to every day that you're on this earth. Every day. Till the day that they put you in that casket. You're going to answer to someone. Hopefully it'll be to God that you're answering to. But you're going to answer to people here on earth as well. There has to be authority. There has to be measurements, boundaries that we go through. So if we start the process as parents, and Ed's about to have a class on parenting, but we all make mistakes as parents. That's probably the hardest job we'll ever have. If you have children, you understand that. Very difficult. It's a difficult thing that God is commanding us to do because that's our job. But to allow our children to tell us what we need to do or getting every little thing their way, then we're setting the tone for this very thing as their life moves on. And I hadn't said it the first. Anytime you have any comments, you're more than welcome to say them. And I know a lot of times in the auditorium class, people aren't comfortable to do that. But please feel free to do that. Then without understanding, it's an uninterest of spiritual things. They don't want understanding. They don't want to understand God's law. They don't want to understand God's commandments. They don't care anything about God's truth. Covenant breakers. What's a covenant breaker? That's someone that makes an agreement with you or with someone, and they violate that agreement. Whether it's in writing, you know, many years ago we could just do a handshake on something, and a man's word was what it was. It was worthy of that. But even if you've got a written contract or a covenant that you've agreed to, and then you break that covenant, then God hates that type of thing. Without natural affections. That one kind of caught me. I said, what exactly does that mean, without natural affections? Parents towards their children, children towards their parents, people in general. So evil. And one of the commentators even brought up the thing of back in the time that this was written, the bloodthirsty people that wanted to see the gladiators. They liked that violence, that evil, that one person is going to be left dead. They didn't have a handshake and walk off the field. Someone was left dead in this bloody event that people would throng to. So this is the type of thing. No natural affection for man, whether it's in your own family or is it in man in general. And then unmerciful. Those who through wickedness are incapable of showing mercy to the poor and the infirm, the helpless, are showing mercy to the enemy. So God says what? God says in that last verse that you will die. You will die because you will die a spiritual death, of course, if you've not done these things. So, beginning then in chapter 2, remember in the letter written to the Romans, there were no breaks in chapters. So he just is continuing his conversation in writing to the Romans, churches there. And I'm going to read down about 16 or 17 verses, maybe more than that, let's see. And then we'll stop and go back and discuss. Let me see what I need to. Yeah, we'll read through verse 16. Therefore, you who are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightfully falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of his riches, of his kindness and forbearance and patience, and knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in which they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. And on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Some tough, tough thoughts there, isn't it? As we read this. So it kind of switches just a little bit here, and God and Paul, through inspiration, is picking up the conversation to now include the Jews as well. Because the Jews were thought they were skating perfectly down the line with nothing, just everything was great because they were keeping the law, but they weren't. Verse 1, having shown that the Gentiles were themselves to blame for being without the law of God, then turns to the Jews and warns them, for they were guilty of rejecting and refusing, weren't they, to obey the law of God. They condemned the Gentiles. And in condemning the Gentiles, what did they do? They condemned themselves. In refusing to believe in and obey God, they had chosen the same course that led to the same degrading vices. Disobedient to God is the worst of all vices. Rejecting God leaves the spirit weak and helpless to the lust and passions of the world. So we see through this, Paul is just laying the groundwork to explain to the Jews that, hey, you don't have Abraham. to do this for you. You don't have the law to do this for you. There's a new law, and you're condemning the Gentiles of things you're guilty of yourself. Guilty of yourself. In the King James, it says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, where whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge do the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do these not think this, O man, you will judge those who do such things, and you are doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God." Very serious material here for us to think about and consider. If we're judging someone, but yet we're guilty of the same thing, then worse judgment will come on us because we know what we're supposed to do and we're judging other people, but yet we're doing it. And that's exactly what he's saying here. In verse 3, because the judgment of God has not been executed upon the Jews as on the Gentiles, and the law had not been formally withdrawn at this point in time. Now, the law of Christ had come on, but there were still the Jews who were practicing the law of Moses fully at this time, because Jerusalem and the temple had not been destroyed until AD 70, several years after this was written. So they were still practicing. They think they're righteous. They trusted in the relationship to Abraham, his circumcision, and the fact of having the law of Moses. But he counted on God being partiality, showing partiality. He condemned the Gentiles for the same things that he was practicing. In Matthew 3, let's turn back to that just a moment. You know what John had to say. Excuse me. Third chapter of Matthew, John the Baptist was talking to the, let me find my verse here real quick. Verse 7 through 9. And John says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham.'" So they were depending on the fact that they had the tradition, they had the law, they had Abraham to brag about, "Hey, I'm a direct descendant of Abraham." They had the law of Moses, but yet they were blind to what the law of Christ was bringing. But God's perseverance, God is long-suffering. His perseverance with man has been so long. You know, if we look in 2 Peter 3:9, and this is, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." That's the English Standard Version. God doesn't want to lose anyone. But that's it's not up to God, is it? It's up to us. It's up to us. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. And he tells us that in his inspired word. But yet, if we don't obey, if we don't do the things that he's asked us to do, then certainly we would be lost. In verse 4, he says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" That's what it should do, isn't it? Because the love of God that he gives his only begotten son, the only way that we could be saved, the only way. If there had been another way, he would have done it. But there was no other way. That was the only way for him to bring the sinless Lamb of God to this earth and for him to be crucified on a cross and then to be raised up again and to show the power of God for ages and ages to come. But God gave us his Son. He showed us a way. He allowed us a way to have salvation. But because, listen to verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 5 really ought to make us shudder if we think about it. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to store up anything, wrath that God may have against me. That's a sobering verse. If you're doing these things and living the way you want to live, then God is storing up wrath for you on the day of judgment. That's a sobering thought. Very sobering thought. We should be led to repentance, shouldn't we? Because of His goodness and forbearance. How many times in Scripture does it talk about God being long-suffering, that He forbears with us? Many times. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to live the right kind of life. He wants His children to come to heaven with Him forever. He has no desire for people to go to hell. Verse 6, but God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Again, this entire chapter is very sobering if you think about it. If a person lives, let's say 80 years, 90 years, however long you live on this earth, from your deeds, from when you were to the age of accountability to the day you die, those deeds, unless you've been asked forgiveness for them, are going to be stored up, and you're going to be judged for it. Something that always concerns me is when we talk to Jesus, every word, every idle word, you'll be judged. Sometimes do we say idle words that we shouldn't say? Yeah, we do. We need to be really careful about that. Very careful. This chapter is, you know, the book of Romans is a sobering book about how you should live your life in Christ. Verse 7, to those who are persevering in doing good, seeking for glory and honor and in morality, eternal life. So on the other side, if you are seeking goodness, then God is going to give you eternal life because you've obeyed Him in your lifetime. That's a great thought. That's a wonderful thought in this dark, dark chapter of judgment that we're reading. But there's light. There's light for all of us if we just obey God. Our Jesus who came here, and we just obey His commands, then we can have a home in heaven with Him. But if not, the other. I think in verse 8, we go back, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. So there will be so much wrath and fury to those who work to destroy the truth of the gospel. We think about in that setting, maybe atheists, infidels, skeptics, agnostics, who don't consider God, who say there is no God, who are an enemy of the church that Jesus died for. And are we not seeing more and more of that as time goes on? It's unbelievable. You know, they've got people out there that work daily against any religion. That's what they do. That's their job. They tirelessly work to destroy your chances, your freedoms to have religion, for you to obey God. They want to destroy that. And they make every effort to destroy that. That's the kind of people that they're talking about in this verse. Verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Why does it say to the Jew first and also to the Greek? That's interesting. Says it in verse 9 and again in verse 10. Who had the knowledge of God well before the Gentiles? the Jews. That's why they're going to be judged first, because they had the knowledge, they had the training, they had the prophecies, and they completely ignored them. They ignored the things that they knew were true through their own stubbornness. So they'll be judged first because of their unbelief. And then the Greek, or the Gentiles. Verse 10, glory and honor and peace to every man who does good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So again, it just switches. So if you're obedient to God, the Jews are going to have a portion of reward first because they believed first, because they took the things that they knew and applied it and understood that Jesus was the Christ and there was a way of salvation other than the law of Moses. Any comments or questions so far? It's amazing to us, I think, today as we think and we study back and we look at the Gospels and we wonder it to ourselves, how could they have not believed in this man called Jesus? But then in this time we see even today, there's so many people don't even believe it. They believe he was a historical feature, a creature, a figure of the first century. But they don't believe that he was deity. They just thought he's a good man, a good teacher. And so much more than that. What does Paul say in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? If there was no resurrection, then we of all people should be the most pitied. So if we don't believe that that tomb was empty, then why are we here? Basically, why are we even here? Because that means that if the tomb wasn't empty, that makes Jesus a liar. And I know my Savior's not a liar. So we believe in the tomb being empty. And that's the difference between the Christian religion and all other religions, as we know. Verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. No partiality. What did the Jews think? They thought, well, since we're the chosen people, then God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. But God doesn't show partiality. There was no partiality. Once the law of Christ went into effect, all men, as Randy likes to say, and I love him saying it, the ground at the foot of the cross is level for all men. He wasn't showing any partiality towards the Jews anymore. Verse 12, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged for the law. You know, you got to read that verse slow and kind of take it in, but what it means is pretty simple. The Jews were under the law, so if they disobeyed the law, guess what? They're going to be judged by the law. Those Gentiles who were without the law, if they were living evil, then they were going to be judged without the law, period. It's just as simple as it is. Gentiles and the Jews, both under different covenants, no covenant with the Gentiles, but a covenant with the Jews. They obeyed. If they disobeyed, then they're going to be judged by the very law. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So all the Jews could quote the law. A lot of the Jews could quote the law. The leaders of the Jews could quote the law. They knew the law, but guess what? They weren't living it. Jesus called them what? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Because they weren't living it. They were showing all these things before the masses of people who came around to watch them. But they were evil. What did he say? The outside of the cup is clean, but the inside of the cup is not. Verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these are having the law, are a law to themselves. We think about Cornelius, who was a Gentile, as we know. He was a Roman centurion. But what did he do? He wanted to obey God. He was a devout man. He wasn't a Jew. That's kind of what they're talking about here. In the days of Solomon, it says in Chronicles 2:17 that there were 153,600 strangers in the land who wanted to obey the law of Moses. So there were people who were proselytes, who wanted to obey, who wanted to worship the true God. And that's sort of what this is referring to. They don't have to have the law to be justified if they're trying to obey the precepts of the law. 15, and that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them. So even though they didn't have the law, they had the law. The law of God was written in their heart and their conscience, and they wanted to live the right kind of life. So they're justified. Verse 16, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. All hidden and secret things of man will be laid open on that day. What day? The day of judgment. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? You can hide from your family. You can hide from your church members, your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you can't hide from God, can we? None of us can hide from God, because all the secret sins that man is guilty of will be laid open on that day. Again, this is a sobering chapter. Sobering for us to think about. For us to think about what that day would either be a glorious day or a terrible day. And, you know, we sing that song, there's a great day coming. It will be for some, but it'll be a sad day for so many. You know, you go to so many funerals and you hear, I don't care what their background is, just like that old Disney thing, all dogs go to heaven. It's like, everybody's going to heaven. Have you ever been to a funeral where they said they're going straight to hell? I hadn't. Maybe there's been one, but I haven't been to one. Everybody's going to heaven. Yeah, he or she obeyed the gospel when they was 10 years old. They're going to heaven. They're going to heaven. That's so sad. Brothers and sisters, we preach our funeral right here on earth. We don't need anybody to preach our funeral. We need to say some things to maybe comfort the family. But it ought to be a happy day, a homegoing. But for some, there is no homegoing because of the law of Christ. And they refuse to obey the law of Christ. Just that simple. What a day, though, for God to say, and Jesus is going to judge us. And he's going to say all these things. And you're going to think to yourself, but I didn't know. How did I know? But you do know. Because Jesus said that he'll judge your secret time. Your secret, the very deepest secrets of your time here on earth. Very sobering. 17. But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God. Remember, the Jews did just this very thing. We have Abraham. We have the law. We are the chosen people. We're great. We're fine. We don't need this Jesus. We don't need him because we got the law. We're relying on the law. Relying on the name of the Jew. That was a a badge of courage, if you will, for them to be a Jew and to be thought of as a Jew. And they looked down. What did they consider the Gentiles? Dogs. And dogs wasn't like dogs are today. They didn't ride around in the truck with them when you go out to the store. Dogs weren't thought very highly of during that time. Thought of as a dog. Because they were the chosen people. They had elevated themselves. But yet they were disobedient. Verse 18. And know his will and approve the things that are essential. Being instructed out of the law. So if they knew the law, like they said they did, then they would know through the prophecies of the prophets that Jesus, the Messiah, was in fact who he was, who he said he was. And all those prophecies that they said they knew were fulfilled in their sight and in their hearing. 19, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. The rabbis used to say, we are the light of the world. The light of the world. But who was the real light of the world? Jesus Christ. But they were saying, we're the light of the world. We're going to show these people in blindness and darkness how to get right. But yet, they couldn't. Because they themselves were what? Guilty. Guilty of sin. Claiming to know the Word of God. They claimed to know and judge those what is best. Never been having been instructed out of the law of Moses from childhood. They, of course, claimed superiority. They were self-confident to being superior to all the Gentiles. Who were what? Regarded as dark and out of the light and blind. Verse 20, it continues on. A corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. Verse 21, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? So they did not practice. We like to use the saying, and it's very true. We use the saying today, practice what you preach. They weren't practicing what they were preaching. In verse 22, it goes on to say, you say that you should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? So the very things that they said about stealing, they were dishonest. Not all now. Now, when you say this, like saying all people this way or that way, not all the Jews were, but a large part, they were dishonest. In their actions and how they did people, the leaders of the Jews were dishonest in how they approached things, and they were very evil in some ways because of that very thing. But when they talk about adultery, do not commit adultery, it goes to what did Jesus say about because of their hardness of heart, Moses allowed them to what? Divorce. It wasn't the law of God. Moses allowed them, but they're saying do not commit adultery. When in fact, they'd put their wife away for nothing and then remarry. So they were committing adultery. And then we know how they did in the record in the Old Testament about worshiping idols. Verse 23, you who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? Of course. Of course they do. Verse 24, probably the most important verse of this particular series of thoughts, is for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Just as it is written. Isaiah 52 and verse 5. Because of the way they lived, they blasphemed God. The things that they should be doing, they didn't do. And so the Gentiles thought little of it because of the fact that they weren't keeping it serious. They weren't keeping the law as they should have. But instead, went against the law of God in every way. So we'll stop there for this particular time and pick up there next week. Any thoughts or questions, any kind of comments before we close out the class? We thank you for your attention this morning, and we look forward to seeing you next week.